Hi, everyone. My name is Michelle from The Table in Uniontown. Thanks for tuning into our podcast this week. We're happy you're here. This is the live recording from this Sunday's sermon. We hope that as you listen, you'll more deeply understand the truth of God's word and how much he loves you. Let's jump in.
If you came here this morning and you were expecting to hear Joey, at least you got to see him during announcements, you're blessed to have a different bald and bearded guy up here this morning and myself. I'm super excited about this opportunity. Thankful to Pastor Joey for asking me to preach this morning. And when he first, you know, pitched the idea and said, hey, would love to have you speak again Sunday, May 4th. And I was like, May 4th? Like, that's Star Wars Day. Like, surely I can come up with something related to Darth Vader or Yoda or the Force or something. And it just kind of felt too on the nose. And at least Kyle's here celebrating. I thought if I had my t-shirt on, I don't know, maybe I'm an undercover fan still. But we're not going to talk about Star Wars. Thank you for indulging with me for 30 seconds there. The topic that we're actually going to talk about this morning is something I hope is relevant to all of us. It's related to questions. And we all have questions in life. We all ask questions in life. Some questions that we ask in life are very, very simple questions. Some questions we ask are a little bit more deep. They're a little bit more complex. Some require just a one-word response. Some questions are going to require some thought, some research in order to get an answer. And for example, a simple question could be 2 plus 2. If you've gone through Jackie's math class, I think she could tell you 2 plus 2 equals 4. I know you do geometry, so I don't even know if you do numbers that much, but anyway.
It's all rectangles and squares.
Yeah. So there's simple questions like that that you have the knowledge base that you can answer quickly. There's questions I think of my 2-year-old son, Eli. He'll come up and say, Daddy, can I have another cookie? And it's like, well, I've probably already given you too many cookies. You don't need another cookie. Easy questions because we have the knowledge base to answer those questions. There's more complex questions. And when I was thinking of this, for some reason, the first thing that came to mind when I was 6 or 7 years old, I can remember riding in the back seat of my parents' car, and it's night out, and I'm like, why is the moon following us? And I don't know if any of you have ever been in the back seat of a car or driving, and you look up, and you're like, it's following me, like everywhere I go. And, you know, I Googled it, because that's what you do when you don't know the answer to things. I'm not a scientist. The answer can be a little bit more complex, and maybe I'm not going to explain it well, but it relates to the distance between the Earth and the Moon, something to do with the fact that the car's not moving fast enough, and it's all about the perspective that we have here. Again, that's kind of a bad way of answering that, but that's why it looks like the Moon is following you when you're in the back seat of the car. If I was a scientist, I'd give you a better answer than that. And then there's questions that we'll ask in life that truly, truly can be life-changing questions. In my life, the first thing that comes to mind is when I asked Michelle to marry me. From that moment forward, things were different. It was actually Easter Sunday 6 years ago. Her dad had to work that morning, and I got up before he had to be in at work, and I asked for his blessing because that's what you're supposed to do. So after every warning he could give me and saying, are you sure you want to do this? I was like, yeah, I'm sure. He gave me his blessing. And then per Michelle's request, she said, well, don't just ask my dad, ask my mom too. I like my mom. I want her to be in on this too. So I asked her mom too that morning and got her blessing as well. And then not to bore you with the story, but my mom has a tradition on Easter. You got to send my mom a picture. You're in your Easter best. She wants to see her kids, her daughter-in-laws, all that. So we weren't with my mom that morning. And Michelle and I, through the busyness of that morning, we didn't get a picture. So we're coming back from Marion, where her parents lived, and coming to Canton so she can come back to Malone for school. And we stop at my parents' house. And I was like, hey, we didn't get a picture. We got to go get this picture. And at this point, like, I've had this ring for 2 months. I'm like, all right. I got the blessing, like, let's just go forward. Like, I have no plan on how I'm going to ask her to marry me. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to give her the ring. We're going to want a picture of this. So I recruit my baby brother. He's about 6 years younger than me. I say, Kenneth, you're coming with us. You got to take our picture for mom. And we get to this site in Carrollton. It's kind of scenic, picturesque, Bluebird Farms. And I'm like, Kenneth, just snap as many pictures as you can. I kind of try to like give him a hint, and I think he got it. He told me, you know, months after the fact, he's like, I knew you had that ring. I was in your sock drawer a long time ago. He's like, I saw it. So Kenneth is following us around. He's snapping pictures, and we get to this little archway, and I was like, I hadn't scouted the place at all. I was like, oh, I guess this will work. This looks kind of cool. So we go under the archway. I say, let's take some pictures, and then I get down on one knee. I say, Michelle, will you marry me? She says, yes. That's the answer you want to hear when you ask that type of question. Sounds beautiful. And I'm down there, and I ask a follow-up. I said, are you going to take the ring? And she's like, you're supposed to put the ring on my finger. I didn't know. Questions. We all ask questions. Life-changing questions. Sometimes we ask questions because we're just unaware, right? I didn't know I was supposed to put the ring on her finger, but it worked. We're still married 5 years later and happy as ever. But there's important questions that we ask in life, big, small questions. And throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Bible scholars have identified at least 300 different questions that Jesus poses, that Jesus asks throughout the Gospels. Some places said 305. Some places I looked at said 339. To be honest, I didn't go through myself all four Gospels and count individually, so we're going to go with over 300. Lots of questions, and there's at least 180 times that somebody actually asked Jesus a question. So if you're reading, again, these Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to see a lot of questions. And Jesus is in the habit of asking questions. And this morning, I want us to consider some of the questions that Jesus asked, because I think the questions that he's asking his audience 2,000 years ago, the questions that he's asking the folks that he's interacting with 2,000 years ago, have some relevance for us, and the way that we answer these questions can quite literally be life-changing. And all the questions we're going to use this morning come from the Gospel of John. The first one is John 1:38. It's the question is, what do you want? Second one's John 2:4. It's, why do you involve me? Jesus is asking all these. And then the third one we'll look at is John 5:6. He says, do you want to get well? So let's go ahead and open, if you've got your Bible or if you've got your phone, to John chapter 1. It's here that John the Baptist is kind of coming on the scenes, and you're seeing some of the interactions that John the Baptist is having with his disciples, with the Pharisees, the Levites. And we're going to start in John chapter 1, verse 19. I brought my Bible. It's kind of like a safety. I'm reading the scripture from my computer. I don't know. It's just how I am. My dad told me if you're going to get up in front of church, you should have your Bible with you. So that's why I still have that with me. Anyway, John 1, verse 19, and we'll read here. And this is why we didn't have a reading, because it's kind of long, and I just figured I would do it, and we got three different passages. Verse 19, here we go. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling out in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I've seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. So all this backstory, you hear John kind of laying the groundwork of who's coming after him. And in verse 35, it says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. So he's started to gain a following. People want to see what John is all about. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. The two disciples are pretty intrigued now. It says, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. They leave John and they follow Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following him and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. What do you want? What do you want? Jesus is coming on the scene, and if you're just reading the Gospel of John and you've got one of the Bibles that actually puts the words of Jesus in red, this is the first time they had to switch it over to the red font. These are the first words that Jesus says in the Gospel of John. What do you want? Andrew and John, the disciples that are following Jesus, they want to know more about Jesus. They follow John the Baptist long enough that they're like, okay, this guy's cool, this guy's important, he's got a role, but he keeps talking about someone that's going to come after him, someone that's going to be greater. They've read their Old Testament scriptures. They know that they're looking for this Messiah. They want to know more about Jesus. So they follow up his question of, what do you want? And say, where are you staying? Like, we want to learn more about you. And that's exactly what they do. They go and they spend the rest of the day with him. And Andrew, after this interaction, the first thing he does is so impacted and so impressed, he has to go tell somebody. But it all started with Jesus asking them, what do you want? I want us to think this morning, when is the last time you asked yourself that question? When is the last time you pause in the busyness of life to say, what do I want? What am I pursuing? What do I want? I think of these questions in pivotal moments of life. You think of those big moments. Maybe you're trying to decide where you're going to go to school. You're trying to decide where you're going to live, where you're going to work, who you're going to marry, who you're going to spend your time with. What do you want? I looked at a handful of different articles online to see kind of what is the culture, what does humanity say to that question? How do they answer that question? And some list 60 different things that humans want. Some boil it down to 10. There was an article I liked from a lady named Karen Nimmo, clinical psychologist. I don't really know anything else about her work, but I liked the article that she wrote for the Post in 2023. And she identified 6, well, she would tell you actually really 7 things that she hears from clients more than anything else. People say they want more money. People say they want more excitement in life. People say they want more me time. People want more peace. They want a quietness, a calmness. They want to be happy. And then these last two, she says, these are really, if you boil it down, this is, if people are going to be honest with you, this is what it's about. They want to contribute to something greater than themselves. And ultimately, people want to be loved. People want to be loved. She says that the top thing that people would probably tell you is they're going to say more money because they think they got more money, then all the problems are going to go away. But she says, if you can get people to be honest with you, and if you can be honest with yourself about what your true desires are, she says it's people want to be loved. They want to be a part of something. That is the top prize. And I think I would agree with her. All of us deep down have a desire to be loved. All of us. We have a desire to be cared for and to belong to something. So I want you to think this morning. We've created the space, we've created the time to think about, what do you want? What are you really seeking in this life, in this busy day-to-day race that you're a part of? What do you want in life? Question number 2 that Jesus asked, you go to John chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you've saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The question in this passage, question number 2 this morning, we've asked, what do you want? Jesus directs at his mother, and the translation, it says woman, and I can picture myself looking at my mom and saying woman and probably getting slapped upside the head. It's not a term of disrespect. If you actually kind of look at the language, it's actually a term of respect that he's using here for Mary. But he says, you know, why do you involve me? And we think about Mary and the interactions that she's probably had raising Jesus as his mother here on earth for those 30 years. You think of the account where they're, even the angel showing up in the pregnancy, right? She's treasuring this in her heart. They go to Jerusalem when Jesus is 12 and he disappears and he's in the temple and they can't find him for 3 days. And she's remembering all of these interactions. And now there's a problem. They have these friends of theirs, or they're invited to the wedding, and these friends are about to face like this ultimate embarrassment. If you can picture yourself hosting some type of party, or maybe you're throwing a wedding reception and all of a sudden there's not enough food and there's half the people still in line and they got a plate that's empty, right? That would be embarrassing. And she knows, we've got a problem. I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to Jesus with my problem. And do we have any problems that we deal with today? Do we have any problems that we deal with today? We all have problems. We all have things that we want. Where do we go when we have a problem? Where do we go when we have a problem? Do you look to involve Jesus because you love Jesus, because of the relationship that you have with Jesus? Or do you involve Jesus because you feel obligated? You feel like, that's what a good Christian is supposed to do, so let me go take this to Jesus. Why do we involve Jesus when we have problems? Is it just out of desperation? There's nothing else that we can do? Or is it our first response when we're faced with problems? A challenge for us this morning, because I know we all have problems. I know we all have different things we're dealing with. A challenge for us today is involve Jesus out of adoration, not out of obligation. Out of adoration, not obligation. Worship him because he's worthy. Pray to him because he cares. Pursue him because we want to be more like him. Our interactions with Jesus should not just be because we feel like we have to. Our interactions, our involvement of Jesus in our lives should be because we want to, because he deserves to be a part of every single aspect of our lives, because of who he is and because of what he's done for us. Out of adoration, not out of obligation. Jesus tells us to come to him when we're weary, when we're burdened. He offers a gentleness. Whatever you're dealing with, he offers an answer. There's a humility. He'll provide rest, a rest for our souls. We know that he was tempted without sin. We know that he got tired. We know that he cried when he's literally about to raise the man he's crying about back to life. We know that through all this emotion that he experienced, emotions that we experience, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus felt all these emotions, and through it all, he loved us so much that he went to the cross to pay our debt, to die the death that we deserve. He was buried, he rose again, and now we can stand holy in front of a righteous God because of Jesus, because of who he is. What do you want? Why do you involve Jesus? Those are the first two questions we've looked at. The last one that we're going to look at this morning, we'll jump ahead to chapter 5, John chapter 5, and starting there also in verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to live, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been an invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The final question this morning that Jesus asked, and he asked this man that's been unable to walk, this invalid for 38 years, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" We've thought about what we want. We've thought about why we would involve Jesus. And really, there's a connection between that first question of what do you want and this third question, do you want to be well? This man in the account had been waiting for 38 years for healing. Jesus knew this man's heart. And while the man, his response is excuses, really, of why he can't be healed, deep down, Jesus knows the desires of this man's heart. And as we get close to finishing up this morning, I want us to consider all three of these questions together. Maybe you really haven't considered until this morning what you want. What are the desires of your heart? What are you trying to get out of this life? Is it a job? Is it a spouse? Is it money? Is it status? But somehow you maybe have got those things, and you still sit here and you feel empty and unfulfilled. Maybe you've been able to boil it down and you realize that those things are fleeting, and you know, man, I do want to be loved. I want to feel a part of something. I want purpose. What do you want this morning? I want to challenge us to consider Jesus. At the wedding in Cana, Jesus asked his mother, "Why do you involve me?" I hope that, and I pray that there's been a compelling enough case made of why we should involve Jesus. And if you don't know and you want to hear more about why you should involve Jesus, please come ask. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He cares for us. He can provide rest for our weary souls. He loved us so much that he died for us. So why do we involve Jesus? Because if you went to Sunday school and you went through the questions, and when you didn't know the answer, you just said Jesus. And this morning, I'm here to tell you the answer is Jesus. He's the answer to all the problems that we might face in this life. But ultimately, having the right answers isn't going to be enough. You can have all the head knowledge, but it can only get you so far. It can only get you so far. Ultimately, it boils down to when Jesus asked this invalid, this man who couldn't walk, he said, "Do you want to be well?" Do you want to be well this morning? Jesus healed this man's physical need, but if you continue reading in John chapter 5, he didn't stop there. He circles back with this man, and he challenges him to go and sin no more. He addresses the spiritual need of that man as well. Do you want to be well? Do you want to let Jesus into all areas of your life this morning? Michelle, you can come up. Is there something this morning that you need healing? Maybe it is a physical need. Maybe you're sitting here and you're just like, "I haven't got the answer I've been praying for." Maybe it's something related to your day-to-day life. Maybe you're not the spouse that you know that you should be. Maybe you're not the type of employee that you know you should be. You don't represent Christ in the way that you should in that setting. Maybe you're not the type of friend that you need to be. I want you to know that Jesus can, and he'll heal it all. He's willing to do that. He wants to do that. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus says, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Whether you realize it or not, we're all sick. We all need Jesus, and he wants to heal all parts of our life. So often we compartmentalize our lives and we put everything into little boxes. I've got the person I am at work. I've got the person I am at church. I've got the person that I am at home. I've got the person I am when I'm doing this hobby that I like. The call is that Jesus wants it all, and he'll heal it all. We all need healing. You know, here at the table, we take communion together every single week. We're going to do that again this morning. And on my right, there's a gluten-free option. On my left is the regular option there. And we take communion together as a way to respond to the teaching. Because we know that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and dipped it in the cup and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And while we do this morning, I hope that we can remember that Jesus is the answer. I hope that we can remember that we need to involve Jesus in all aspects of our life. Nothing about our life is hidden from God. I hope that we can remember that we're all sinners and we're all in need of healing, and we can be thankful and remember the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection that gives us hope. We're going to go ahead and provide time to take communion at your own pace and really reflect on these questions this morning. Are your desires, the things that you want in life, are they in line with what God wants, what his word teaches us? Am I involving Jesus in all aspects of my life? Am I involving him in my marriage? Am I involving him in the type of person I am at work? Am I involving him in my schedule, the way I prioritize things? We'll have Noah and Kayla available. If you want someone to pray with you, if you want someone to pray for you as you think about these questions. But now I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll be free to take communion together. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in prayer this morning, and we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you're a God who loves us. You're a God who cares for us, that you're a God who can heal any and all problems that we face, Lord, that you're a God that gives us the perspective that we need to tackle our day-to-day. I just pray this morning that as we take this communion, Lord, that we can remember how good you are and how unworthy we are, that we can remember to involve you in all aspects of our life. Lord, I just thank you for your son, Jesus, and the sacrifice on the cross, dying the death that we deserve, shedding his blood to cover the sins of us, Lord. And I just thank you that he was buried and rose again, and now we have hope. And we just love you and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our Sunday service. If you're interested in joining us in the future, you can find us at 17766 Cleveland Avenue Northwest on Sunday mornings at 10. Additionally, we host a meal every first and third Sunday after service in order to fellowship with one another. Visit aseatforyou.org for more information. We hope you'll join us next week. Go in peace.